together. This is what I want to talk about this morning. If you'll stand for the reading of God's Word. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11, notice what it says. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And then Psalm 133, begin with verse 1 through 3. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the Mount of Olive, or the Mount of Zion, excuse me. For there the Lord commanded the blessings. What? The Lord commanded the blessings, even life forever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And we ask God above all things that you touch this morning. Give strength, courage, and encouragement, O God, because we know how big and good and wonderful you are. And we're asking this morning, Lord, that you touch, give strength and courage, bless each one that's here. Bless those that are not, God. Those that were sick, weren't able to come. We ask, God, that you give them healing for their body where they can be in the next service. And Jesus, we're giving you thanks, praise, glory, and honor for it all. Amen and amen. And by the way, I forgot to tell you, but Sister Tammy said last night, talking about Tammy Arvin, she said, have the church to pray that I have a speedy recovery. Tammy burns a candle at both ends almost. She's a hard worker, and she takes care of grandkids and all of that, and it's really hard for her. So please remember, pray that she will have a speedy recovery. It should be our goal that no one is left behind. Shouldn't it? It should be our goal. Are we praying for spirit of unity and togetherness in our family and church? Are we all pulling together? Judge others will limit any personal growth possible. Remember that. Weddings are beautiful, aren't they? I had one here yesterday. I married one of my cousins. I had a cousin to get married here, second cousin. How about that? Beautiful wedding. Got them married and sent them on their way. That's the way to do it, right? But they say after the honeymoon that they're going to come to church. We'll see. I've heard that story before, but I'm believing this time it might work, I hope. So are we praying for spiritual unity? We need to, right? But weddings are beautiful. We used to use the unit candle. And a lot of people still do, and I have in several weddings. But then later, we started using the sand. People would take two different colors of sand and put it in a jar, just like Shavana did. Shavana had a wedding, and I did her wedding, and they had sand. And you mix that sand together, and it all blends together. And that's the way that we do when we get married, right? But then today, there's another one that I haven't tried yet, but it's called God's knot. It's a three cord, the husband and the wife and the cord of God. God is the gold. He's the gold thread or the rope, and the man is the purple, and then the wife is white. And this is God's knot, and it speaks of the power of the Trinity of the Godhead. I tell you, I've never tried that yet, but that sounds pretty interesting, doesn't it? The threefold knot, and that's the one that we all should have. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse number 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And in verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. I tell you what, I fell off the ladder here some months back or a year ago or something, and I would like to have somebody to help me up, but I looked around real quick to see if there's any neighbors looking, and I jumped up. Skinned knees and hands and all. Tore my knees out of my pants and everything. But I tell you what, it's good to have somebody to lift you up, right? I was working in the garden this week doing some stuff, and Sister Gordon wasn't worried about me and come to see about me. I thought if she had just come 2 hours early, she could help me work. But at least she checked on me. Thank God for that. And if one prevail, verse 12, if one prevail against another, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's so important that we bind together, right? More together, we need to. What hinders God's people from the love of one another? Could our attitudes, our words hinder unity in the camp? It is told about a rotten guy or a very horrible guy in the community, and a man was a drunk. He was a wife abuser, child neglecter, and he said bad words all the time. He never held down a job. Seemed that everyone in the community spoke poorly of him. He thought he would ask a preacher about the man. One guy thought he'd ask the preacher about this man and trap him. The preacher replied, "He sure is the best whistler I ever heard. We can find something good to say about a dog. You know what? He wags his tail so cute. He licks me on the hand so cute. We can think of something nice to say if we want." Perhaps the greatest obstacle to one another is a spirit of unity is judging others. Judging is a terrible wrong in the body of Christ. Can anybody say amen? We can read Facebook and listen to people, and they are putting down people for judging as they are judging people themselves. The Bible says a perfect person can throw a stone first. But when Jesus said, "Ye without sin cast the first stone," they all, one by one, they walked out because they knew they weren't perfect. They wanted to condemn the little lady because she was caught in the act of adultery, and they didn't bring the man. He probably ran off, or it might have been one of them. Who knows? But they had tried to pin Jesus down with that in that case. Can we understand that we're judging people for judging people? Do you hear what I said? Sometimes we judge people for judging people. We're nobody's judge. Matthew 7:2 says, "For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again." And this is Jesus talking. And in verse 5 of the same chapter, he says, "Thou hypocrites," or hypocrite rather, "first cast out the beam in your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye." It's amazing, folks, how easy it is for we can see other sins, but we don't need to think there's nothing wrong. We need to look in the mirror every now and then and see where the fault really lies, right? Yeah, I didn't think you'd amen that, but Romans 14:13 says, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this matter, that no man put a stumbling block or an accusation and fall in his brother's way." So we need to understand, folks, that we look for the splinter in somebody's eye when we've got a beam in our own eye, or one translation calls it a log. We've got something in our eye bigger. So I see many get so good at judging others for judging others. Well, you know that worked, did it? It does. So the one that does the least talking about others are trying to work with one another. Now I want you to notice this little thing I've got here. My judging theory is simple. The obese person talks about the person smoking. And then the person smoking talks about the person that drinks alcohol. Then the person drinking alcohol talks about the doctor's prescription abuse. And then the pain pill addiction talks about the person smoking marijuana, and a pot smoker says this is a natural substance. So they talk about the crack and the cocaine user and so on. Seems everybody can find fault with others that sin differently than they do. Isn't it amazing? See, I like what James says. In James' writing, chapter 5, verse 16, he says, confess your faults one another and pray one for the other, for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means woman as well. So we need to confess our faults one to another. But let me rephrase something here. I want to throw something in. Do you feel comfortable confessing your faults to one another? Do you trust one another enough that you feel that you could do this in all honesty and it wouldn't be spread all over Facebook and all over the world or all in the community? Sometimes, folks, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel comfortable spilling myself out to some people because I want to tell you why. Hey, they can't wait to head out and tell everybody around, look what Brother Gordon did. Look what he said. Look what this and look something else. I want to tell you something, folks, but James was really being honest. He said, confess your faults one to another, but that wasn't what he was really, that was just the beginning. But then he said, and pray one for another that you may be healed. So, see, here's the thing we need to understand. We can confess our faults to one another, but we also need to pray for one another, not talk about one another, right? All right, amen. I think we're getting a hold of this, aren't we? So, are we together? Are we on the same page? Team. I like the word team because team, and if really you can take the T and put together, and then the E for each, and then the A for accomplishes, and then the M for more. So teamwork is together, each accomplish more, plain and simple. Together we do. It's amazing how, and I put a little thing in the bulletin just with my heart this morning. I hope you read it and understand where I'm coming from because it's very important. Read the bulletins. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. Sister Judy works hard on them every week. I do my share to get it ready every week. Sometimes I'm a little early. Sometimes I push her for time because I just don't get around to it. But please read your bulletin. It's very important. Valuable information in there. So the Bible speaks in many verses about togetherness for one another. One another is used 100 times in the Bible. How about that? It's used 100 times in the Bible, but notice this, 94 times is in the New Testament. So one another, he's talking about one another, 100 times in the Bible, but notice, hey, 94 times in the New Testament. So Jesus has been referring, and other disciples as well, telling us how that we need to work with one another, honor one another. A third of the verses that mentions one another speaks on a topic, unity. Isn't that amazing? That's very educational, right? So we just need to understand a little bit better. Then Romans 4 and 5 says, 12 and 4 and 5, for as he hath many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We're all equal in the eyes of God. There's no big eyes, little U's. We're all the same. You may not be able to do what I do, and I can't do what you do, but I want to tell you, we together can work, and it gets the job done. Let me give you a real good example. I've been helping out with the food pantry, going and getting the food and loading it with Annette's help and my wife's help, and little Kason, when his day's off of school, he wants to help. And you'd be surprised how much that little dude can work. He really does a good job. And then Sister Tammy works. She comes in when she gets off from work and helps pack it and the bags and all of this. And sometimes Bruce gets around to helping us too, and we appreciate that. And a lot of you can't due to working and so forth. This past Wednesday, Sister Tammy was having heart surgery, and I felt like I need to be there. Well, I can't go get the food and be in the hospital at the same time. So Annette and her mom said, hey, we can handle this. So we're going to get Travis's help. Travis is going to help us. She volunteers her son-in-law to help. He's never done it before, but this is what mother-in-laws do. I know, I had one. She's always volunteered me to do something, and I loved her, though. I didn't mind. And I know Travis didn't mind. So it worked out really well that even though I wasn't here at all, it was taken care of because we're working together. This is what it's all about, working together. And if we pull together and work together, everything runs smooth. But one or two can't do it all, right? But we can make it. And I want to just say thank you for following through with that. It's so important, so valuable that these little kids have food to take home from school once a week and so forth, the ones that need it. And it's a very important thing. And I'm just thankful that our church is involved. Our school is a South Irvin school, I've been telling you many, many times, but still yet, it's really important that we have these food bags over there, and then they put them in the backpack, send them home to the kids, and the kids can have something for the weekend to help them to survive. You say, oh, that's not important. Yes, it is important. Everything we do is important. And working together makes it so much easier and so much better. And it's just like one or two can't do it all, but we together can do it. I tell you what, we've got some good help coming to do this, and it'd be more, like I said, if you didn't have to work, and I understand that. And some of you are not able to, and so forth, and I understand that. But we can do it together, right? It's important, huh? Sister Hall, yeah, see, I wasn't here, but she filled in. She can work twice as fast as I can, I'm sure. She said it didn't take us long. Thank you. I was looking, but I didn't see her back there. Sister Hall came this time, and I tell you what, she said, you call again. If I'm not busy, I'll do it again. It's important. Very important, folks. It's very valuable. It's just like working in church. We need to pull together, right? Do our very best. And since I'm on that subject, we've changed all the light bulbs in the halls and things like that, the fellowship hall. And all of these are LED bulbs. We haven't got to these just yet. But I want to tell you something, folks. It's important that we all work together to lower our bills in the church, right? We try to do it at home, utilize what we have. But then it saddens me when I come in, like this morning, all the lights was on in the hallway here, all the lights was in the hallway there. And then Sister Alice came up to do the bulletin last week, and the front door wasn't even locked. If you have a key, lock the door. When you go out, pull it, make sure it's locked. I'm not accusing anybody of leaving it open, but please, we have stuff here that they'd just love to pull a truck in here and wipe us out. They'd even haul the piano out. So please, please, do your share, do your best. When you go out of a room, turn the light off. Right? I come in sometimes and the PA set is going. These bright lights up here is going. Hey, I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just saying we need to work together to help out, right? It's important. And when you see a piece of paper on the floor, pick it up. Good gracious, don't just kick it on the seat. Pick it up. You say, that's not my job. That's Bruce's job. Yeah, but I want to tell you something, folks. It's your job, too, because this is your church as well as it is anybody else's, right? You're saying, you're a mean old pastor this month. No, I'm not. I'm just trying my very best to help us all to work together for the goodness and the grace of God, right? Amen. Be honest. Do we have a boundless forgiveness for giving one another? You see, Ephesians 4:32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And Jesus comes back in Matthew 18:22, and he says unto him, I say unto thee until seven, not, excuse me, let me back up. I say not unto you, unto seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now that's a whole lot of times. You think your wives would forgive your husband if they did something wrong that many times? 490 times, or what is that? Well, whatever it is, it's a lot of times, amen? I'd say you probably wouldn't forgive one another that many times, right? So that's where we need to get a hold, because Jesus has already said, how many times shall we forgive our brother if he sinned against us? And he's telling us plain, be at peace. Do we know that we have to be peace with each other to achieve togetherness and unity? You see, another thing that's written in Mark chapter 9 and verse 50 says, salt is good. Everybody likes salt, right? You like salt? I like salt. You try eating gravy, no salt in it. No good, is it? You put a little salt in there and it makes it good. The doctor says it's not good for you. But then, without a little salt, you've got to have a little salt in your body. But they say don't try to eat it all at once. And then he tells me then, if a food is good, said spit it out. Well, I'd starve to death if that happened, right? So I don't listen to that doctor. I said, come on, doc, get real. So salt is good, but the salt has lost its saltiness. Wherein will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. One of the greatest hindrances to love one another is complaining and grumbling. Can anybody say amen? Some people get in a habit. All they want to do is grumble and complain all the time. Some people, I would love to speak to them and say good morning and how are you today without them grumbling and complaining. Now, if you're going to grumble and complain, get the devil. He's the one that deserves it all, right? So, hey, let's not grumble and complain about everything, even though we've all got things and we've got things that we need to, it's justifiable to complain about and grumble about maybe, but let's not make it a habit. Some people make it such a habit that people don't even like to talk to them because that's all comes out of their mouth. So now, John 6 and 43 says, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. You see, the disciples got to mumbling and complaining. Even one of the mothers of two of the disciples wanted to know if their sons, when he come into his kingdom, if one could sit on the right hand and one the left. She wanted the best for her sons, and I don't blame her a bit. Do you? That's her sons. She's thinking a lot of them. But then Jesus let her know, hey, you don't know what you're asking. So sometimes we ask things that we don't know what we're asking. For togetherness, we need the mind of Christ and come together. Don't we do it? Now, here's one that I want to touch on just a little bit. I'm coming to close very shortly. Campbellism, Christians. What? Yeah. Campbellism, Christians. Don't bite and devour each other. The judgmental spirit is Campbellism. Campbellism, as you bite and devour others, it's like the skeleton of the feast is you. Galatians 5 and 15 tells us plain about this. It says, but you bite and devour one another. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Are you a kind person? Are you kind to people? Why not ask yourselves to, am I gentle? Am I kind? Are you patient, tender-hearted with one another? Let me just throw this in as an illustration. One of the hardest things I've ever had to get used to in marriage, waiting on my sweetheart. I thought when I was ready to go, she ought to be ready. She had three kids to get ready, and I'd be principal. Aren't you ready yet? Aren't you ready yet? Honey, I'm doing the best I can. Well, hurry up. Hurry up. We're going to be late. But it took me a lot of years, but now you know what I do? I sit on the couch, or I do something else that needs to be done, and I wait. No need saying anything, because she's not going to get in no hurry, because that's the same speed she's had ever since I married her, and she hadn't changed gears not one time. But I've learned some great lessons to be more patient, tolerant. It don't help a thing. Many times I have come into church and I was so upset I got a bit of 10-penny nail into. I thought, rushing. Here we are late. Here I need to get this done, that done, and all this. But I'm telling you, it don't help a thing to get all upset, right? Any of you men like that? Yeah, I didn't think you'd answer that. EB's the only one, his wife's not here, he could answer that. He wouldn't get in trouble now. Some of us might get in trouble, right? But sometimes it is. It's hard to be patient with one another, right? But we need to. We need to work on this. We need to do our very best to try to be more tolerant and patient with one another. To pull together. We must learn to be a servant of all. When you got married, you didn't know you was a servant to your wife, right? Vice versa, right? When you got saved, you didn't know you was a servant. You thought you was, man, I'm high and mighty. I'm no servant to nobody. But Jesus said we're to be a servant of all. So if we're a servant, that means that we're to do things to help one another, right? Do our very best. Let me give you an illustration as they're coming to the music, please. There's a great power in one another. Standing in love and unity, it is great, is it not? There is strength in unity and great weakness in division. One of the great presidents, Abraham Lincoln, said, "United we stand, divided we fall." And that's true, is it not? Why does a lot of marriages fail? Because they're not in unity. There's a division. Even the weak are strong when they stand together. Consider how weak one snowflake is. Think about this. Now, we're away from snow, but it's coming sooner or later. But think about one little snowflake. When that snowflake is united with millions, it can really be something powerful. Can you say amen to that? But one little snowflake, people say, "Hey, I seen a snowflake." Well, that snowflake just dissipates. It leaves. It just don't stay very long. But then with the temperature right, and here comes a snowflake, and here's another and another and another, and after a while there's thousands of them coming down, and they pile up on the ground, and you have a slick time, but you have a pretty time because these snowflakes are sticking together and so forth. And it is really nice to see, I think, because snow is beautiful. Can anybody say amen? It's supposed to be 96 today and tomorrow. We can think about a beautiful snowflake, right? I can. What about the little ant? The ant is small and has been known to bring down and devour a lot of things almost as big as an elephant over a brief period of time. Why? Because it's unity. You take a bunch of ants, they can build a bridge with one another. They need to go across a little stream, and they can even build a bridge in themselves. One starts out, and they unite together and together, and the first thing you know, they've got a bridge built across a certain area. They do amazing things. An ant is really something. We people need to be like a family of ants, stick together. What one can't do, the other will do. We'll join together and let God take care of it. So we need to have peace with one another, unity with one another, and love for one another, respect. Can we say amen to that? Let's stand if you would. The altar's open this morning. I hope you don't think I meant this as rude. I don't mean it rude. What I mean is we need to work together. This is what it says. In 1 Thessalonians, first scripture I read, wherefore comfort you yourselves together and edify one another. This is what we're supposed to do, edify one another. Edify means to lift up, to hold up. If everybody pulls together, look what can happen. I saw a video this week of an automobile accident on the interstate. It was a pickup truck and it turned upside down and slid on its top. And a man was trapped in that truck. One guy stopped and he was trying to get him out. He couldn't get the door open. There was no way he could get him out. After a while, another one stopped. And another one, and another one. And then after a while, there was several people stopped. So they tried to turn it back over where he could get out, but they couldn't do it. But then here's some more stopped. And after a while, they got a hold of that truck. And they didn't turn it back on its wheels. They just turned it up on its side off of its top. Here this guy comes climbing out safe. Windshield broke, door bent down, top bent, and he crawls out safe. But the moral of the story is, in my opinion, is it was togetherness that got the man out. He was trapped. And this is what we can do, folks. We can help others that are trapped to get out. Unity with their own families. The altar's open this morning. If you feel like you just need to come and pray and ask God to help you to stay in unity with your family and unity in the church and love one another, respect one another, I tell you what, it's a good time to come and pray right now. Come on, the altar's open. As they play and sing, come on. Hallelujah.